Maybe you've satisfied your writing thirst, if you have one, with letters to the editor, or maybe you keep a blog online, or maybe just posting things on Facebook keeps you happy. Lots of us like to write, but not so many of us write full novels. Today's guest says, sure you can do it. Not only that, but you can do it in a single month. Okay, now this starts to sound like one of those real estate pitches at the start, you know, buy income property with no money down. But Chris Beatty has proven people can write novels in a short amount of time. He is the creator of National Novel Writing Month, which is just what it sounds like. His guide to the process is newly revised. It's called No Plot, No Problem, a low-stress, high-velocity guide to writing a novel in 30 days. Chris Beatty is a teacher, writer, and speaker living in Berkeley. He started National Novel Writing Month in 1999. Chris, welcome to The Exchange.
Thank you for having me on the show, Jeff.
So let's walk back to the very beginning, and in fact, the concept itself. Why would anybody want to write a novel in a month?
That's a great question, and I love the idea of comparing this to kind of that too-good-to-be-true real estate deal as well.
No money down, yeah.
Yeah, on paper, it sounds like a horrible and impossible idea, and I completely relate to that. But so this started back in 1999, and I just had this idea, one of many very bad ideas I've had, which I subjected my friends to and said, hey, let's all get together in a month and we'll all write these 50,000-word novels. And that's a short novel. It's basically kind of like a Great Gatsby or an Of Mice and Men length. So we got together and we would get together in coffee shops and just write together. And the process ended up being so much fun. And the books that we wrote were definitely not great books, but they were promising, and I think they kind of, to me, revealed this fact that, you know, writing novels just feels great. You know, if you love to read, there's nothing better than writing to help give you insights on the books that you love to read. But I also think it's just a great workout for the imagination. As adults, I think we tend to get so busy doing the very practical things that we need to pay our mortgages and keep our families fed that we forget to take time out to just do these kind of crazy, wonderful things that are there for us.
I think you're probably right about the imagination part, because it's too easy to balance the checkbook or watch TV or just do something where the input is coming to you instead of it coming out of you.
Exactly. And, you know, in those things, even professional writers struggle with making time to write. I mean, there's always something either more urgent or more delicious. You know, it's like I could open that thing of ice cream and just that will be my writing session. It's just really devouring that Ben and Jerry's. So, you know, I think that it's really a deadline becomes tremendously important for any optional creative project. And that was one of the big discoveries I made through National Novel Writing Month, is that an impossible deadline actually makes a project easier to pull off than a merely difficult deadline, because I think we take it seriously. You know, it becomes this thing where in National Novel Writing Month, you write 1,667 words per day. And really, you're just sort of judging your success and failure, not by whether this was Pulitzer Prize winning material, but just did you get your writing in? And that, I think, breaks up this very large, intimidating, amorphous task of, you know, writing a book into a pretty manageable series of steps, which is you're coming to the page daily, you're committing to a certain amount of output, and you're celebrating that. I mean, we really, in National Novel Writing Month, encourage treats and rewards as an essential part of the creative process.
Donuts and things like that?
Exactly. Whatever works for you.
What line of work were you in when this all got started?
So I was an editor when this all started, and but I had really I had been wanting to try being a freelance writer for a long time. And National Novel Writing Month, that first year, and kind of making this discovery that I think we all have these things in us we didn't realize, really helped spur me to. A month later, I quit my job and headed out to become a freelance writer, and really have been doing a variety of writing and then running National Novel Writing Month ever since.
And actually, National Novel Writing Month is going on right now, isn't it?
It is. So this is the month of literary abandon. So in 30 countries around the world, there are about 400,000 people all working on their novels. So in America, of course, the huge, terrifying hurdle is Thanksgiving, which is about to happen, which if you are hosting relatives, it becomes very difficult to get that word count in. So you have to be very creative.
1,667 a day, is that about 3 pages or so?
It's, you know, it's so funny. I think so much in word count that I would say 1667 is maybe closer to 8 or 9
okay.
verses, but I could be totally wrong about that.
I'm curious about the contraction. Is this a NaNoWriMo? Is that what your shorthand is for
That's
National?
That's it, yeah. National Novel Writing Month really is, it just becomes a little bit of a mouthful. So, and it really, the name, it's funny because when it started out, it was just that group of friends, and we were all here down in the Bay Area, you know, writing in Berkeley. And so the name I came up with was sort of meant as an ironic sort of in-joke for all of us that, you know, yes, this is called National Novel Writing Month. And but over the years, it's been amazing where the event kind of grew into the name. You know, we went from 21 people to 140 people to 14,000 people, and it just kept snowballing from there. Now it's a year-round nonprofit with programs in about 2,000 classrooms around the world as well. We provide free workbooks and curriculum for teachers that are looking to get their kids into book writing, and there's a summer program. So it really has grown into that very ridiculously large sounding name. It really has become that, which has been really wonderful.
You say you've learned a few things along the way, one of which is you've been disabused of the notion that we each have one novel in us.
Yeah, well, so the thing that people oftentimes, when they hear this, especially if they love books, they admit, okay, this it sounds like fun, but I don't know what I would write about. You know, we think about the books we read that have such immaculate plot twists, and there are, you know, subplots and themes and motifs, and these characters seem very three-dimensional and complicated, and we feel like, you know, we do that reality check where we say, do I have that stuff? And the answer is no, none of us do. But the reality is that I think just by committing to this process, and again, agreeing that you're going to show up to the page every day, I think that those ideas really do just come. And, you know, a lot of people make this something they do every year. So even people who don't see themselves as writers will write a book every month. And, I mean, every November, every year, and have written now 10 or 11 or 12 books.
Wow. We'll come back and ask about the repeaters in just a few moments. Chris Beatty's our guest. He's the creator of National Novel Writing Month and the author of the newly revised book that is a guide to that, No Plot, No Problem, a low-stress, high-velocity guide to writing a novel in 30 days. That's right, 30 days. We'll talk more with Chris and take your phone calls and emails if you'd like to join us. Back on the Jefferson Exchange in a minute 10. Back on the Jefferson Exchange on the News and Information Service of Jefferson Public Radio. I'm Jeffrey Riley. Thanks for listening. Our guest today is Chris Beatty. He's an author himself and the urger of lots of other authors through National Novel Writing Month, which he started in 1999. It's going strong this year. It's going on right now. November is the month for National Novel Writing Month these days. You can join us on the Jefferson Exchange as we talk to Chris about the concept and about his guide to writing a novel in a month. It's called No Plot, No Problem, a low-stress, high-velocity guide to writing a novel in 30 days. Join us on the Exchange at 800-838-3760, 800-838-3760, or jx@jeffnet.org. So how many people actually finished the first National Novel Writing Month, which I guess was July of 99?
It was. There were six of us that successfully survived the endeavor and crossed the 50,000-word finish line.
Wow. And then and how many in the most last year, I guess, in 2013?
Last year, there were north of 30,000 people who won National Novel Writing Month.
Wow. That really is some impressive growth.
It is. It really is. And, you know, also for all the people that didn't win National Novel Writing Month, and again, to win, you just verify your 50,000 word or more word count. You know, those people still manage to usually write, you know, 10, 20, 30,000 words, you know, which is more fiction than most people write in a year or even a lifetime. So, you know, the goal, we set this ambitious goal of 50,000 words, but really the hope is just that people will spend some of November, you know, making time for creativity. And we also have people who aren't writing novels that take part in National Novel Writing Month. We have people working on memoirs and screenplays and epic poems, PhD dissertations. There are a lot of writing projects that could use a little bit of community and encouragement.
There are a few lessons that you provide in the introduction to the book. One is that enlightenment is overrated. Number two, being busy is good for your writing. And number three, plot happens. I mean, this is probably where you're going to get the greatest argument from people who are of a literary bent, is that you got to be putting a little more thought into it than that. But your point is just get started?
Well, I think it depends on your sort of planning personality. And there are some people that love planning their novels, and I say go for it. And in the book, we kind of provide some exercises for thinking about character and conflict and some possible story elements. But I think some people just end up getting so intimidated by this idea of needing to have, you know, the beautiful outline or kind of the full arc that they never start writing. And I think that's a tragedy. You know, the E.L. Doctorow, the great novelist, had this wonderful quote saying, you know, writing a novel is like driving a car at night. You can't see any further than your headlights, but you can make the whole trip that way. And I think that that's really true, you know, for a lot of writers, including professional writers. This first draft is really a process of discovery where you are being as surprised as your future readers will be, you know, when your characters suddenly quit their job and, you know, join a polka band or, you know, or get a divorce and, you know, have their whole life start over again. I think, you know, it really, it can be something that you map out ahead of time. And I think some people feel more spontaneous and creative when they have that structure. But it also can be something that you just dive into, and it kind of depends on what feels best to you.
I'm going to paraphrase you paraphrasing Hemingway, because I want to make sure that we keep our licenses here. The first draft of anything is crap.
Yes.
So how do you not get discouraged by the stuff that you're cranking out of your fingertips every day?
It can be hard. And one of the things that I recommend that people do is to try not to reread. You know, we have this tendency to want to go back at the beginning and start over, because that's the way we've learned to write is, you know, you write a paragraph, fix it, move on to the next one. And what happens, I think, with a novel is that you really do need to commit to just diving in and getting lost, knowing that there will be times when you sort of lose the thread of this story and lose momentum. And just remembering that, you know, all these books that inspired us to write, all these beautiful, you know, books that do have this immaculate story, that they also started out beautifully flawed, that there were times when that author lost his or her way, and that's just part of book writing. You know, you can kind of nail a short essay or a blog post on the first go-round, but nobody gets a novel right on the first go-round. I mean, there are reasons they don't publish the first draft of novels along with the final draft. And Hemingway is a great example where if you look at his novels that seem so effortless, they seem so conversational, if you go and look at those manuscripts, it's a disaster of strikeouts and deletions and change this, you know, wholesale revision. And that's really, I think, the way novels are built, is they're built through drafts, you know, and draft two becomes so much better than draft one, and draft three gets better than draft two. But you have to start with something. It's sort of like, you know, in some ways a first draft is the equivalent of clay to a potter. You know, you need to make the clay so that you can go back in and really shape it later.
We're talking to Chris Beatty about National Novel Writing Month going on right now and his Guide to It, newly revised, No Plot, No Problem. Let's take a call. Here's Robert in Eureka. Welcome to the Jefferson Exchange.
Yeah, hi, thanks. You know, I had experience with this type of thing in a band that I was in the 70s, where we decided that, you know, each of the band members was required to write a song every week and bring it to practice with them, and then we kind of hashed it out together, and you know, we actually ended up with a few good songs. And I was wondering if this principle reminded me of a book I read a few years ago called The Artist's Way, and I was wondering if your author guest had ever heard of that, or had the other thing was about collaborative writing experiments. Mm-hmm. So that's what I had.
Okay, all good questions. Thanks for that, Robert. Appreciate it. Chris?
Well, Robert, I love that, you know, the idea of setting these goals for music as well. And I think it just, the human imagination is basically infinite, and yet if left to its own devices, will happily sit on the couch eating Doritos all day long. So I think setting these due dates, you know, of I'm going to come to band practice with a song is amazing. And that's really the way you build up this catalog, but also it's the way you get better as a creative person, because you're going out on these expeditions. Some of them may be failures, some of them may be huge successes, but it's all about, I think, doing it regularly. And The Artist's Way is a great example of that. That's a book by Julia Cameron. And she has this concept of morning pages, that you wake up in the morning and you write a certain number of pages every day. And if the words aren't there, you just can, you know, just write the same word over and over again, or just write, I don't feel like writing. And that by continuing to do that, it sort of loosens up that inner critic that we have that we sort of tends to censor a lot of our great, more interesting ideas. You get through those blocks, and yeah, I think it's wonderful.
He talked about collaboration as well, and you do bring up the concept of the writing group in the book, but it's not about reading each other's stuff. This is really interesting. What do the writing groups do with each other?
Right. Well, so all around the world right now, there are things called write-ins that are happening. So most nights in November, there will be a group that are getting together, and people are just writing their own novels in the same room, and that ends up, I think, unleashing a really tremendous amount of dedication and follow through, because when you're in a group situation where everybody is kind of diligently working and you're the one who wants to kind of goof off on Twitter, you look up and you see, well, everybody else is working on their novels. I can't get on Twitter right now. I'll just wait until the end of this. And I think it kind of helps bring focus, but it also brings camaraderie, and that's something that's often missing from writing of all kinds, is just this sense of being part of a community. So for National Novel Writing Month, you know, we have local chapters in about 500 cities and towns all around the world, and those volunteers organize these get-togethers. There's a kickoff party at the start of the month. There's a Thank God It's Over party, usually right around the beginning of December, where you can bring excerpts from your novel, and there are gold crowns, and it's really just kind of it gives people a sense of solidarity, but also accountability, because once you've gone to one of these write-ins, those people know who you are, and they know what book you're working on, and they're going to want to hear more about it, and they will hopefully ridicule you if you drop out early, which I think the threat of personal humiliation is a priceless motivator to finish the first draft of a novel.
Chris Beatty, our guest on the Jefferson Exchange. His book is No Plot, No Problem, A Low-Stress, High-Velocity Guide to Writing a Novel in 30 Days. Chris is the creator of National Novel Writing Month, which is just about to wrap up for November of this year. And so you can join us on the Exchange at 800-838-3760, 800-838-3760, or jx@jeffnet.org by email. I almost couldn't avoid asking a question there about if anybody really got motivated and didn't have anything else to do Thanksgiving weekend, do you think they could crank out a novel in, 5 days left?
I think that they, so every year we have people who do write the full 50,000 words in a day. I don't know how these people do it, and I worry about their wrists and typing fingers afterwards, but, you know, I think that it's not too late to set, you know, to set a writing goal for the month, and, you know, be that 5,000 words or 10,000 words, you know, and really any month can be National Novel Writing Month, and that's one of the things I say in the book, is that any month you can kind of rope in a few friends to do this with you. It's perfect. You know, it doesn't need to happen in November. So if January works better for you, or, you know, probably avoid February because of that terrifyingly short month. But, you know, any other month is great. And I would say just get a few friends and do it.
Places to write. I mean, you talked about the writing groups where at least you're around other people doing the same sort of thing. I guess it's a choice of the individual writer whether you want to do it in public or private. You prefer public, I notice. Is it sort of like doing feats of daring in front of an audience?
Well, I love the kind of background noise that a coffee shop provides. I think a lot of people, their brains just sort of work better when there's a little bit of distraction around, but a sort of controllable. Other people absolutely can't handle that, and so tend to write at home, which is great. But in National Novel Writing Month, these local chapters also organize, you know, in London this past weekend, they had an overnight lock-in in a bookstore where, you know, there were, looked like 50, 75 novelists all there, tucked into all the nooks of the bookstore, and they wrote through the entire night. You know, I think in Vancouver, there's a very famous NaNoWriMo write-in that takes place on the subway cars. So they get on the subway and they just ride the subway for hours working on their novels. So I think it brings a sort of change of pace. And again, anything that can kind of make it feel fun will help you get over that inevitable sense of, oh, I hate this. I never want to see this book again.
Right. A lot of technique in here you point to. I mean, you get into some ergonomics, make sure that you don't hurt your wrists and hurt your body apparatus. But there are other suggestions in here, like the time finder. What is that?
Well, the problem that I think a lot of people have, in addition to not knowing what they would write about, is just the feeling that they are too busy to do this. And the truth is that really everybody can make time for this, and it's better to be busy when you're writing a first draft, because I think you forgive yourself, you give yourself permission to write something that is, you know, a mix of really great inspiration stuff and, as Hemingway said, crap. And that is a very powerful place to write from, because that's really what a first draft inevitably is going to be. And if your expectations are that it's going to be, you're going to somehow write a fourth draft on your first draft, you're just going to get frustrated. So the Time Finder is really just a tool to help people look at their schedules and try to find the times, you know, where can you sneak a half hour? Could you maybe write during your lunch break at work? If you have a commute, could you write on the commute? You know, for me, it just giving up as much social media as I usually drown myself in, that alone frees up a half hour every day. So it turns out there are these pockets of time that are very usable. And it also, I think, helps you start to think about, you know, if I have kids, can I start making agreements with my significant other to do, you know, trade off on chores? So for November, I will do less of the cooking, or I won't pick up the kids from school. But then I'll do double duty in December. And I think it's all about finding ways to sort of prioritize this creative project for a month.
And one of the things I notice is that you you say don't take any more than two consecutive days off. You slave driver, why not?
Well, it's all about momentum. You know, it's interesting. Speed is not the key. It's really about momentum. And momentum, you know, when we come and we work on our books every day, it just becomes kind of second nature to us. We find ourselves thinking about it in the shower and when we're washing dishes, and it's just part of our brains. And as a result, when you sit down to write, the words just flow so much more easily. And when you take a couple days off, 3 days off, those gears start to get a little bit rusty. So part of your first writing session back is just reacquainting yourself with, oh, yeah, what was, you know, oh, so the Lizard King was doing, oh, right. And so then you get up to speed, but really if you can stay in this world by writing every day, that's the best way, I think, to make the whole process feel more inspired, but also the words come more easily.
Chris Beatty's our guest. He is the creator of National Novel Writing Month, NaNoWriMo, and his book on it is No Plot, No Problem, a low-stress, high-velocity guide to writing a novel in 30 days, newly revised, expanded, and updated. Here is Jamie in Medford. Welcome to the Jefferson Exchange with Chris.
Good morning, Jeffrey. Good morning, Chris.
Howdy.
Well, Jeffrey, just a comment and a suggestion, if I may. Let's see. The comment was is that I believe that it was Hemingway's book, The Sun Also Rises, that he had something like 13 or 14 different endings that he was working with on that. So you can imagine that if he was, you know, that tangled at the end, that the making of it to that point must have been just as equally arabesque. And well, I have a suggestion.
Mm-hmm.
There's people may not know this, but Bram Stoker, when he wrote Dracula, he wrote it in the form of letters and journal entries. And I was thinking that maybe you could apply that in November,
uh-huh.
Get your friends and family involved in it, find a common theme, and then just, like, in effect, write letters back and forth to each other, and you can fill in the gaps with your journal entries.
Huh.
And just throwing it up there for what it's worth.
All right. Thanks for that, Jamie. Appreciate it. Is there any collaboration that goes on? He brings up a good point there, Chris.
There are, and I loved that project, by the way. I think that's such a brilliant idea. And we do have friends that will write novels together. Families sometimes will all write a combined novel. In our classroom program, especially for the younger grades, the second or third, fourth graders, they will also write kind of a combined collaborative novel. But I love that idea of journal entries and letters and kind of moving beyond that sort of more traditional linear form and breaking it up into these kind of little episodes. I think that's brilliant.
You recommend caution. You already talked about some of the things you have to do with loved ones and family and friends, you know, some trade-offs like, okay, I'm going to do less cooking in November, for example. But you do recommend caution for sure when revealing what you're doing to coworkers. Why?
Well, it kind of depends on your workplace, and I think that it also depends on how much noveling you're going to be secretly doing at work, and there's a great and venerable tradition of people quietly working on their novels while at work, and, you know, for some workplaces, that's wonderful, and, you know, the bosses get behind it, and people put up progress charts on their cubicle, and there are a lot of high fives and baked goods being circulated. That's best case scenario. Worst case scenario is that, you know, your boss has this sense that you are doing something on your computer that is not at all related to what you're supposed to be doing. So I would say you know how well it's going to go over, and if it is something that may not be exactly celebrated, I would say keep it to yourself. Share it with family, but coworkers do not necessarily need to know.
Yeah, you don't want to get caught in a situation where you're pounding away at your keyboard on your novel and the boss says, Beatty, where's that analysis?
Exactly. Right, or at the end of the month, I think the world's laser printers in office settings are suddenly depleted with a with about 50,000 words of toner as well. So you don't want anybody looking over your shoulder then.
So December becomes a toner replenishment month.
It really does.
The work itself, I mean, the guts of what's going into the novel, you talk about, there's some great examples in the book, like Jennifer McCready, who did all kinds of advance work and research on her novel, and then what happened?
Well, and then, right, so this, she basically put so much time into the planning, and it became such this beautiful edifice in her head, this immaculate, perfect world. When she sat down to start writing it, it just felt like a disaster, because she had this ideal of the novel in her head. So, you know, one of the things I encourage people to do if they are comfortable with it is to come in with an idea that they really, it's new to them. It's not something maybe that they have been thinking about for a decade. Some people have, you know, their family novel that's going to finally tell the story of their family. I would say if you can, go with something looser, something new, something still forming, and that way you're not quite as attached to quality as you write that first draft.
So she thought she was going to make the paradise, and what she got was the 7-Eleven instead.
Exactly.
Right. Chris Beatty's our guest. His book is No Plot, No Problem. We'll talk more about National Novel Writing Month, and the process and the goods that emerge on the other end when we return to the Jefferson Exchange with your phone calls and emails in a minute 15. Final segment on today's Jefferson Exchange. I'm Jeffrey Riley. Thank you for listening. Our guest today is Chris Beatty, writer, teacher, editor, speaker living in Berkeley, California, and the creator of National Novel Writing Month, NaNoWriMo by shorthand. It's going on right now. It's been around for 15 years now, and Chris recently revised his 10-year-old book about how the process works. People writing a book in 30 days, 50,000 words in 30 days. His book is called No Plot, No Problem, A Low-Stress, High-Velocity Guide to Writing a Novel in 30 Days. You can join us on the Jefferson Exchange as we talk about the fun and the work and the pain and the reward. 800-838-3760 around the region, 800-838-3760, or by email jx@jeffnet.org. We were just talking about Jennifer McCready, who had this edifice in her mind for what her thing was. And then you said, you know, come in with a less polished thing. In fact, as you point out in the book, the last thing you want heading into your noveling month is a brilliant concept. But there are some things you need to do, obviously, to set up in advance. And you talk about the two Magna Cartas. Would you explain that concept?
Yeah, well, this gets to this question of what will I write about? And the first exercise I really encourage people to do is to make a simple list of things that they love to read in books. So if you love novels that are set in workplaces, and you love cliffhanger chapter endings, or you love mysteries, or you love, you know, first-person narration, or kind of like hard-boiled dialogue, just basically make a list of all those things you love to read. And then look at that list, and that list contains the things that you will do well as a writer, because those are the things that you love. You get those things, and they resonate with you. So the first thing I tell people to do is really just think about what they love to read, and if they can pick, you know, 7 or 8 items off that list and kind of use those as the sort of foundation for their novel, they will end up writing this book that really hits all of their sweet spots. And so that's the first one. The second one is the Magna Carta 2, which is a list of things that kind of bore or depress you in novels. And I have people make this list because, in my experience, when my novel is going awry and I'm feeling like, oh, this is such a thin, there's nothing to this book, it's just, where is the craft in all of this? I will reach for these things that I feel are good for me, these sort of literary brand flakes that I don't actually like to read, you know, where it'll be sort of a character will suddenly have some horrible affliction, you know, or there will be ghosts, or death will kind of haunt this whole novel. And my novels tend to be much lighter and kind of sillier, but somehow I feel like, okay, well, this is what it needs, is some real sadness. And so I would just caution people to always write the kind of book that you want to read. And, you know, there are great book ideas out there that are not necessarily great ideas for you as an author, and to keep that in mind, too.
Let's take another call. We have Jeannie in Medford on the line. Welcome to the Jefferson Exchange. The book is No Plot, No Problem. Chris Beatty's our guest.
Hello. What a joyful program for Thanksgiving. One Thanksgiving, I was totally alone and kind of feeling sad, and my husband was out of state, and the kids weren't there anyway. I thought, well, I'll just lay here and catch up on my old stack of Architectural Digest. And as I looked out the window, I saw neighbors with their guests coming, little kids carrying the pie and flowers for grandmother and down the hill, and it was so much fun. I began writing that day instead, and it was really helped my day. But I called as a writer to ask you, Ann Rule, I believe, is the one who told me I need to learn to encapsulate. As my boss said, ask her what time it is. She tells you how to make a damn watch. So,
heard that expression before. Okay, so keeping brevity, how important is that to the process, Chris? Although when you're trying to crank out 50,000 words, do you want to be brief in this process?
Well, I think that ultimately, you know, clarity and concision and brevity and all of those are important. And I think that in my experience, the time to think about those is probably the second draft or the third draft. That for me, the first draft is one of where you really get to go long. You know, I think, yes, talk about how the watch is made. That's a perfect thing, because you may discover that, in fact, your book is, you know, not about that lizard king on planet Zyklon, that it is about a watchmaker in Bologna, Italy, and that's a much more interesting thing for you to write about. So I would say, be sprawling in the first draft, and then know that you economy is important thereafter.
This is going to run counter to people who are pretty good at broadcast writers, for example. The field I've been in my whole adult life is you have to edit as you go along. Otherwise, you end up with a lot of gobbledygook that isn't good for the ear for which we are writing. But now the approach you're talking about here is removing your inner editor.
It's very hard for certain professions, and I think journalists, radio writers, people who are professional editors, lawyers also, people for whom that sense of economy and really making it as simple and clear as possible have a lot of trouble with unleashing this torrent of ideas, because you really do want to edit as you go. But I think the problem is it gets back to that idea of the inner critic, that, you know, if you let yourself try to make this novel perfect as it comes out, you know, you may ultimately write a beautiful first chapter, but that's all you're going to get. And you're going to spend so many hours just banging your head in frustration against this idea. And the thing about novels that is really interesting is that you really discover what they are about by getting a beginning, a middle, and an end down on paper. Finishing is so important, because it's usually somewhere between the middle and an end that you end up discovering things about that book that you had no idea. Even if you mapped out the whole thing, you make these really interesting discoveries, and suddenly you find that the heart of the book is not with this character that you thought was the protagonist, but it's with a minor character, and then in the second draft you will recenter the book around them, which means that that beautiful first chapter that you could have spent a year or 5 years working on isn't even in the final draft of your book. So to me, I just feel like we have so few creative hours. You know, we have so little time to play that it's important to go ahead and give yourself permission to get this whole arc down on paper, warts and all, making mistakes, writing ugly sentences, having horrible dialogue, but focusing on getting the whole journey, making the whole journey, so that you really can see what this book is about, and then start in on the next draft that takes all of the best parts of it and realigns it with this new vision.
Let's zero in on the first part of the title of the book, No Plot. Why is it not a problem in your mind to get into this writing process without a plot?
Well, this gets back to the power of the human imagination. And, you know, we're all storytellers. You know, we do this constantly. This is what our lives are really based around, is when we interact with other humans, we tell stories. And people say, oh, you know, I'm bad with words, or I'm not a storyteller. But, you know, ultimately, we all do this. And, you know, when people say, I just don't have enough of an imagination, you know, I'm a very boring person, I just say, think about your dreams last night. You know, this crazy world of interesting characters and unexpected plot twists, it's all in there. It's in all of our brains. So I think getting overwhelmed by this question of do I have a plot ends up ultimately denying us the wonderful pleasure of writing books. And the books may not be something that we intend for the world to read. You know, a lot of people do National Novel Writing Month, and their novel is just for them. It is this creative journey that is theirs alone. They have no interest in getting an agent or finding a publisher. That for them it's just kind of this a personal miracle. You know, it's this sense of running amok in your imagination for 30 days. And I think that that has its own real value as well.
Scott in Ashland sent this email. He says, I first heard of this a few years back when a friend participated. One thing that I've wondered about since is whether you are aware of any novels written as part of this effort that have been published. I realize that is not necessarily the point, but would still be interested to know. And happily, there is some work there.
Yeah, we've had a pretty huge number of people who have gone on to write their first draft in November and then spend a year or more polishing, adding to it. Typically, people add anywhere between 25 to 50,000 more words to their final draft. And at this point, we have had hundreds of traditionally published manuscripts. We've had 10 New York Times bestsellers, including Water for Elephants by Sarah Gruen, The Night Circus by Aaron Morgenstern. I mean, these are really big, million-selling books. You know, Water for Elephants even had a Hollywood movie made out of it, you know, starring Reese Witherspoon. And, that National Novel Writing Month and this idea of bashing out the first draft in a month has really become more and more sort of an accepted part of the traditional literary world, where people, novelists who are under book contract, come by and write their 50,000 words in November because they absolutely need to get that book down on paper. So, we've had a lot of successes, and it's an ever-growing list, so it's pretty wonderful to see. I go to a bookstore now, and I can see multiple books that started out as National Novel Writing Month manuscripts.
That's a lot of fun. Let's take a call. Here's Paul in Grants Pass. Welcome to the Jefferson Exchange with Chris Beatty, the creator of National Novel Writing Month.
Wait a minute. I can only run amok in my mind for 30 days at a time?
There's got to be limits, right, Paul?
I guess. No, I listened to this. This is a fascinating idea and a wonderful program that you have going here. I listened to this on a couple of other NPR-oriented talk programs, and there was actually pushback from people who were, trying to put this down, saying, well, you can't write real literature in any amount of time like that. And I'm just baffled by people even looking at that. If you've got somebody that's putting pen to paper or somebody that's keyboarding their thoughts or whatever they're using, to me it's a wonderful, wonderful thing, whether it's A Dark and Stormy Night or the next War and Peace.
All right, so that was the question, is whether there's any poo-poo of NaNoWriMo from literary critics. What are you hearing out there, Chris? And thanks, Paul.
Yeah, thank you, Paul. Well, I think there, every year we get some people who are writing articles saying, this demeans literature, this turns a beautiful art form into something laughable. And, for me, I feel like the world only becomes richer when everybody is contributing to our culture. And novels are just ultimately too much fun to leave to the professionals. And, I think that, one of the great things that this process does is it really does help move people from sort of being a passive consumer of culture into an active creator of it. And again, these books may not be things that ultimately go out into the public world, but that I don't think that makes them any less important or any less powerful. And then you look at some of these books that really have had a huge success that have helped people see the world in new ways. And I just think all of us need a little bit of encouragement and inspiration to sort of find that creative voice that we all have. And hopefully this can be sort of a 30-day kick in the pants to get people started down that road.
What do you hear back from people about how many of them go back and actually do second and third drafts and actually flesh it out into something a little more, a little less hurried, perhaps?
I think probably about half of our participants will go back in and start to revise. And revision is such a wonderful second adventure. I love novel revision as much as I love the first draft. I've been deep in revisions on about four of my novels simultaneously for about a decade now. That's how much I love it. but I think that, for those people, it really does then become this community that is formed in November extends year round. So people that were writing in coffee shops form critique groups to kind of help them get this second draft done and then a third draft done and then to get a query letter written to agents. And, you know, it really is part of this ongoing process for some people that it starts in November and then, you know, becomes something that is also a positive part of their lives for years afterwards.
Let me talk about the pace just a little bit because you bring that up. That week one, it sounds like people are all full of all the great stuff. It's like the champagne is still being served on the cruise ship as it leaves port. But by week two, it sounds like you're very much on the ocean.
Exactly, or underwater, I think is part of it. Yeah, you know, it's kind of like any trip, right? You start out, whether you're in an ocean liner or a car, and it's exciting. You know, everything's new, and you're getting used to everything. And for a lot of writers, that first part of the book is great because there aren't really a lot of expectations around story. In the first part of books, we just introduce these characters, and we get to know their world, and they may have some funny conversations with each other. And then week two of National Novel Writing Month happens, and that's, you know, at that point you've written 10,000 words, and something has to happen, right? Something, you know, a stranger has to come to town, there needs to be a problem presented or an opportunity with a big catch. There needs to be something sort of book-like that needs to happen, and that's the first time that if you haven't outlined this, if you are just kind of improvising this story, you hit that real wall of just feeling like, oh, God, what happens now? And the other thing that tends to happen around the second week is that your cheering section, so your family and friends that thought it was awesome that you're writing a novel in a month and were very interested in hearing updates, have gotten completely bored with the entire project, have gone back to their normal lives. So unless you're going to these National Novel Writing Month write-ins or you're online on the forums, you know, getting advice and encouragement, suddenly it's like you had all these people that were supporting you and they're gone and you're having to make these tough story decisions. So week two is tough, but week three tends to be kind of in the back half of week three is when you get your second wind and you've kept at it and the story starts to come alive again. And then week four of National Novel Writing Month, it really, the champagne is back and it feels like nothing else on earth.
I love the suggestion for week three. Break things, you know, make stuff happen in your story. Yeah. All kinds of great stuff in here. The book is called No Plot, No Problem, A Low-Stress, High-Velocity Guide to Writing a Novel in 30 Days. Chris Beatty is its author and the creator of National Novel Writing Month. Chris, thanks so much.
Thank you for having me on.
You bet.